Very warm welcome along to The Assist, the new football preview show for the 2024-25 season. It's a new format, but the aim will be the same, to give you the best betting advice ahead of the weekend's football. There will be always two pundits alongside myself, Warren Ashurst, this season, with Mark Langdon. We're on a deserved long holiday break. We've got James Milton and Dan Childs in the chair today to run you through their best bets for this weekend's action. And if you want to watch our season-long preview show, then you can find that on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And even more analysis there is in the Racing Post newspaper for our pull-out every Friday, which goes by the same name as The Assist. Well, that's all the housekeeping out of the way. Now it's time to get straight in to the action and the best bets, starting with the big match of the week. Well, the standout Premier League game of the weekend is certainly the clash at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea take on Manchester City in the Sunday 4:30 game. We'll run you through the prices in a moment or so's time. But just firstly, to get your thoughts, James and Dan, on what you've seen of the two teams so far and how we think they might well perform going into the new season. Let's start with City, who I suppose a lot of people will expect them to be favourites going into the new season. But James, firstly, we've heard quite a few tipsters over the last few weeks suggesting that maybe they're not the side that they've been over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think there are question marks. You know, you never have too many doubts over a side who've won the Premier League 6 times in the past 7 seasons. But, you know, these streaks don't go on forever. And I think you can see in the anti-post title betting, you know, some bookmakers have City at 6-4 and Arsenal snapping at their heels at 13-8. You know, Arsenal ran them close last season, took it down to the final day of the season. And yeah, I think City, after, you know, so many of their key players went deep at the Euros. I think the departure of Julian Alvarez is an interesting one. So reading between the lines of Pep Guardiola's quotes on that was not in the plan, I don't think, for this season. Now, Alvarez started 31 league games last season, only 24 years old. He was looking like a really significant part of City's future. So I think there are question marks over them going into the new season. But, you know, they've answered those doubts so many times in the past. You know, they have to be respected.
I mean, we were talking off air, Dan, before about City and how they tend to start slowly and build their way, of course, into the campaign. But are there any niggling doubts with you going into the start of the new season?
I think the start is always concerned with City. We kind of know that if they're in contention around the turn of the year, they come on so strong, don't they, in the second half of the season. But especially, you know, in the summer when you've had a couple of major tournaments with their players involved, the Euros heavily. You think of, you know, the players that got to the final, Kyle Walker, Phil Foden, John Stones, Rodri. I mean, that's going to be an issue for them, I think, you know, in the early part of the season. Pep, he doesn't like to take any risks at all with players' fitness. And you can imagine, you know, these players sort of being dripped in, maybe, you know, initially from off the bench and taking, you know, a while before they're sort of up to full speed. I think with City, if they can not drop too many points early in the season and they're close enough to it, you know, going into the turn of the year, then, you know, you'd have to fancy him to be right there.
If we're a bit unsure about City, Milts, then what on earth are we to make of Chelsea going into the new season?
It's another fascinating situation, isn't it? I mean, you know, as an Arsenal fan, I love seeing Chelsea in turmoil. But as a football fan, you just think, you know, everything we kind of understand about building a successful club, you know, a core of players, a settled manager, a decent star, you know, security off the field, just throwing it all away. And you know, I mean, just typified by the exit of Mauricio Pochettino last season. After, you know, they'd finished the season strongly, despite all the injuries, all the turnover in the squad, and they decide to get rid of him and start again. So, I mean, it is going to be chaotic. There's no doubt about it. But I think they can avoid defeat against City. You know, Dan's mentioned City's slow starts, and you know, City only won 2 of their 10 games against the top 6 last season. And Chelsea won 10 of their last 12 at home under Pochettino. So it'll be interesting to see how they go under Enzo Maresca before he probably gets the sack next week.
Well, I was just about to say, Dan, from that perspective, Enzo Maresca would love to be able to go into Chelsea and think, right, we're going to build this legacy, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. In the back of his mind, he must be thinking, how long have I got to make sure that I stay in this job?
Yeah, and also I think that, you're not in control a great deal over the incomings and outgoings. Yeah. You know, Conor Gallagher was, you know, they've been trying to sell him, you know, since well before Maresca's come in there. So he's not had a chance to come in and say, you know, look, this is the players I want to keep. These are the ones, you know, that I'd rather move on. And that's an issue as well. You can't, you know, take full responsibility for the players that are in your squad. I think the problem with Chelsea is that they seem to be far more focused on bringing in just blanket amounts of, you know, young players with potential. It seems to be like more for sort of financial reasons, putting them on long-term contracts so that they kind of sidestep FFP. And there doesn't seem to be a cohesive, you know, strategy to actually build a team for the here and now. So, I can see more of the same really over the course of the season long-term for Chelsea. I think they'll improve a little bit maybe on last season, but I don't see a massive jump forward for them.
It could be another roller coaster for Chelsea fans. In terms of the betting for Sunday's big game, Chelsea around about 16-5 to claim the 3 points, City 4-5, and the draw 29-10. With everything that we've said, guys, we'll start with you, Milts. What's your best bet for this clash?
Yeah, I mean, despite all my reservations about Chelsea, I just think they've got a puncher's chance in this. That, you know, they scored so many goals, particularly at home at the end of last season. You know, those wins I mentioned under Pochettino, 3-2 against Newcastle, 4-3 against Manchester United, 6-0 against Everton. They put 5 past West Ham. And with Christopher Nkunku fit again and Cole Palmer obviously having a magnificent season last season, I think they can certainly land a blow on City. So Chelsea or draw, double chance is the bet for me.
Dan, are you as buoyant about a potential surprise on the opening weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go even further. I'm just going to go for Chelsea to win the game. I just think this is, as I mentioned earlier, the perfect time, really, to play Manchester City. He's going to take time bringing these players back in. The Community Shield, you've got Kyle Walker, Phil Foden, John Stones, Rodri, none of them involved. Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne just came on really late on as late subs, so they're not going to be anywhere up to speed. Chelsea just in general seem to be a bit further ahead. Players that are in the Euros final for them, Cole Palmer and Mark Cucurella, both got 45 minutes in the pre-season 1-1 draw at home to Inter. So they're just looking in better shape right now. And you look at last season, but there was 2 draws between these teams, 4-4 at Stamford Bridge, 1-1 at the Etihad. I would say that City were in far better shape going into them games than they are now. So, those odds, I think Chelsea are well worth taking a chance on.
Just to remind you, the game of the weekend in the Premier League, 4:30 on Sunday, Chelsea against Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. Time now to look at the rest of the Premier League fixtures, starting off with the opener on Friday evening. Old Trafford is the venue for Manchester United against Fulham. United around about 4-7 to collect the victory. The draw 100-30. Fulham around about 17-4. Let's start with you, Milts, in terms of how you might see this one going. Plenty of change behind the scenes at Old Trafford over the last few months, but is it going to be a change on the pitch?
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, big shock that Erik ten Hag starts the season at United. Obviously, the FA Cup final victory over City saved his job there. For how long, I'm not certain, and I'm not rushing to back United as a kind of home banker on the opening night. But I like the look of Alejandro Garnacho to score the first goal. Obviously, he did that in the FA Cup final and the Community Shield against City. And he scored 7 times in 30 league starts last season. I think he's obviously got the potential to improve on that tally. Certainly towards the end of last season, he was one of United's most consistent attacking threats. Over the last 15 appearances in the league, he was averaging 3.6 shots per game. So, yeah, I think he's quite an eye-catching price to break the deadlock against Fulham.
Yeah, he is. Big price, Alejandro Garnacho, around about 13-2 to get the first goal in that game. Dan, if you'd asked me about 3 or 4 weeks ago whether Fulham or how I see Fulham's season going, I would have said they might be able to be dragged into a relegation tussle. But the likes of Emil Smith Rowe joining, there might well be another couple of new additions before the window closes as well. Is there reason to be optimistic for Cottagers fans?
I think a lot will depend on sort of the injury situation. I think their squad does look a bit thin. I think if they're a team that potentially could get dragged in, I think they'd just about be all right if they get a fair win with injuries. Losing Paulinho is a massive blow, obviously. Smith Rowe, you've mentioned coming in. I don't see him really as a like-for-like replacement. Poligno is such a destroyer in there, and you know, in tough games, particularly away games, he's a you know a big player for them. I do think in this game, though, I mean, you're starting the season. Fulham have got a clean bill of health at the moment, so they're going to be quite strong at the moment. They're established now, like a couple of seasons in mid-table as a solid enough Premier League team, hard to beat. I think they can actually get something here. I'm going to go Fulham or draw, double chance. At Manchester United, they just don't convince me at all. Yeah, they won the FA Cup with a great performance in the final last year. Probably should have lost to Coventry in the semi-final, eighth in the league, which was their worst finish since 1990. There's just so much wrong still there at the moment. There seems to be an effort to bring to lower the age of the squad with Lenny Yoro and Joshua Zirkzee coming in. I'm not sure how much they're going to improve them in the short term. Yoro's injured actually at the moment. Hoyland's out as well, so they've got issues with injuries. I go back to last season. There was quite a bit of optimism, weren't there, at the start of last season. Then they played Wolves. They won 1-0, but I remember watching the game and they were terrible. They were really lucky to win that game. I think a couple of referee indecisions went their way. I think this could be quite a similar hard-fought game. And at the odds, I think Fulham or draw double chance is well worth play.
For those of us who remember the occasion when Fulham started their season after getting in the Premier League at Manchester United, I remember Luis Saha scoring for Fulham against United at Old Trafford. Of course, he went on to play for United at a later date. I wonder whether there will be a Fulham goal to celebrate on Friday. We'll turn our attentions now to the early kickoff on Saturday, a 12:30 start. And talking of newly promoted teams, Ipswich it is, who will be getting their season underway at 12:30. Portman Road, the venue for Ipswich against Liverpool. Ipswich as big as 7-1 to claim the 3 points. The draw 9-2, and Liverpool around 4-11. As Liverpool fans will probably tell you, Milt, so over the last few months since Jurgen Klopp's departure, there wasn't necessarily a huge amount of expectation around Arne Slot, but pre-season results may well have led to that expectation rising.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, it's no secret that Xabi Alonso was their first choice to replace Klopp. But I think their transition under Arne Slot could be quite smooth, actually. I think he's not going to change the style too much. He seems a really kind of positive, ebullient character. And he's inherited an exciting young squad, I think. You know, core of players at age 26, 25, younger. So I think Liverpool should again be comfortably the third best team in the league. Just looking at this game, I like the look of Liverpool to win and both teams to score. I mean, you know, Ipswich have had a stunning rise under Kieran McKenna. I certainly don't have them down as relegation bankers, given the job that he's done there. I just fear that you know, there are going to be some teething problems, and they've got Liverpool first game, Man City away for their second game, which for a club who were in League One 2 seasons ago is a pretty tough start. Both teams scored in 17 of Ipswich's 23 games in the Championship last season. And, you know, even at that level, you saw times when their defence was exposed. They conceded 8 goals in 2 games against Leeds. I think Liverpool can edge an entertaining encounter here.
As impressive as Ipswich have been down over the last couple of seasons or so, leaking goals has been a bit of an issue. And then when you move into the Premier League and you're opening 2 games of Liverpool and Man City, it will be a bit of a concern.
Yeah, I can see 32 home goals in the Championship last season, even though they had a great season. So you're kind of wondering how many they're going to concede in the Premier League. I do quite like them, though. I think the manager is going to be a top manager, Kieran McKenna. There's some interest in him in the summer. I think keeping him and extending his contract was a big deal for Ipswich. And he's an intelligent manager. And I think by the end of the window, they'll probably be stronger still. Not sure about a couple of their signings so far. Muric and Dilap, they've paid like quite big money for them. I'm not sure how much they're going to improve them. But I think a lot of the players that have done well in League One and the Championship will kick on again. And they'll be strong at home as well with that backing they've got behind them. And I think they'll be intelligent the way they play. I don't think they'll be too attacking. Although they're a very attacking team in the Championship, I think McKenna's, you know, intelligent enough to set them up right, you know, not be like Burnley last season and just, you know, having a possession-based, you know, dogmatic sort of style. I think he'll adjust it game by game. I think in this game, though, first game of the season, you've got a big, you know, crowd behind, expectant crowd. I think the crowd are almost going to, influence the performance and get Ipswich to have a right go. And I think that could be to their detriment here. I'm going to go with Liverpool double result. So to be leading at half-time and win the game at full-time. I think Ipswich will have a go. I think Liverpool have just got such good players to open them up on the counter-attack, the likes of Diaz, Salah. Their big players seem to be fit. All of them between them seem to get a run out last weekend. They played Sevilla and Las Palmas in two friendlies back-to-back at Anfield. They look in good shape for the new season. Agree with James. I think the managerial change is not going to affect them much at all. I can see them actually, with a fair win with injuries, contending for the title. So Liverpool to get a comfortable win on the opening day.
OK, well, both James and Dan looking towards Liverpool at Portman Road. There are no fewer than four games kicking off at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Milts, we'll start with your Arsenal first at home to Wolves. I remember watching the Arsenal-Fulham game towards the early stages of last season when, you know, arguably it could well even ridiculously at that early stage of the season saying how important it was. Obviously, Arsenal dropped points on that day. You look at this fixture and think, could that be one of those potential early season banana skins, or do we think that Arsenal have learned enough over the last couple of seasons not to fall into that trap?
I know you're trying to rile me there, Warren. I've actually got the perfect stat to counter that. I mean, Arsenal did drop points against Fulham and then lost at Craven Cottage just after Christmas. But against the teams outside the top eight, they actually won 21 of their 24 matches, and 14 of those were to nil. And that's the bet for me in this one. Arsenal to win to nil. I mean, they have the best defensive record last season. Now got, you know, Jurrien Timber, who missed virtually the entire season with a knee injury. He's back. They've signed Riccardo Calafiore, who was very impressive for Italy at the Euros. So, you know, they've strengthened that. You know, David Raya is now their permanent. We won't see Aaron Ramsdale's antics in the Arsenal goal. Occasionally veer from the sublime to the ridiculous. And I think they're just going to be as strong as they were defensively last season. I think they should be able to keep Wolves at bay quite comfortably. I think Wolves were quite right to cash in on Pedro Neto, given the fee that they've received from Chelsea and his injury record. But, you know, he was such an important creative player for them. Only started about 18 games last season. I think he racked up 9 assists. And without him, they may lack a bit of a spark, I think.
Well, Arsenal are as short as 2-9 to collect the win on Saturday. The draw 6-1. Wolves as big as 11-1. Can you make a case for Wolves, Dan, here?
Well, as a Spurs supporter, I'd absolutely love to make a case for Wolves. But no, I can't make any case for Wolves. I mean, Arsenal are a very, very short price. I'm sure they'll get the job done and win the game. I think you've got a game here between a title contender, you know, saying that through gritted teeth, and a relegation candidate, I think. Wolves, they seem to have, you know, been running out of money over the last couple of seasons. You know, they had a small squad last season. Mm. It's thinned out even more. You've got Max Kilman's gone to West Ham. Neto, as James mentions, he's gone to Chelsea. So another two big players, you know, have left. The players coming in seem to be younger players. A couple of fullbacks have come in. You know, I would worry for Wolves. You look at the last season's squad. I remember when they got quite a few injuries around and it impacted on their FA Cup run. They lost at home to Coventry when they had they had about 5 or 6 players out, and it massively affected their lineup. You know, they look even thinner now. I like the manager, actually, Gary O'Neill. I think he's a good manager, but I think he's got a tough gig there at the moment. Arsenal continued to strengthen. Calafiore looked really good at the Euros. One of the, you know, probably the only Italian player to really impress. I can only see an easy win. The bet, I would go Kai Havertz to score anytime. Odds against, he got 13 goals in the Premier League last season. For quite a large part of it early on, he wasn't playing, you know, as high up. I would expect unless Arsenal bring in a new striker, he's probably going to be playing high up as a false nine, and he's going to be a big threat, I think. So Havertz to score anytime for me.
I mean, Milts, just very quickly on Arsenal, you know, last season we heard all the way through the campaign, they need a goal scorer, they need a new goal scorer. We've not heard that at all this summer. Nobody's really been brought in terms of a striker. Do we think Kai Havertz is the solution? It seems to be that Mikel Arteta does.
Yeah, I think Arteta's quite happy with him. I mean, it's been interesting, you know, both of the last two seasons when Arsenal have been in the title race. I think the season before, it was Martinelli and Odegaard and Sacco all reaching 15 goals. And last season, again, they shared the goals around, you know, Leandro Trossard, who you still feel is a bit of a bit part player, but I think he scored 12 goals in the league. And as Dan mentioned, Havertz, certainly the second half of the season, was a real threat. And yeah, I think he has nailed down that centre forward role. And Arsenal will hope that, you know, the likes of Saka, Martinelli and Odegaard and Trossard can all chip in around him.
We're going to turn our attentions now to the second of the 4 3 o'clock games. And it feels, well, bizarre to say that this will be the opening game of the season for the last time being able to say it at Goodison Park, because Everton, of course, will move to their new stadium next season. But they'll want to bid farewell to their famous old ground with an opening day victory over Brighton, who, again, another team with a new manager this season and looking to try and improve on what was a frustrating campaign last time around. Milt, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, this move away from Goodison is going to take some time getting used to, isn't it? But, you know, Everton finished last season in style there, won their last five league games to nil, beating Liverpool, of course, to secure their top flight status despite points deductions. I can't quite bring myself to back either of these teams to actually win the game. So I've kind of fallen on the draw by default. Brighton, I expect, you know, will improve on last season. I mean, they, like so many teams, they had real injury problems and compounded by their maiden European campaign as well. So I expect them to improve. My concern is, you know, it may take them a bit of time to rediscover the winning habit. They made a strong start to last season, but from their last 32 matches, they picked up 33 points under Roberto De Zerbi. And yeah, Goodison is going to be a tough place to go in the opening weekend. So I'm going for the stalemate here.
Okay, the draw, by the way, is 12-5. Everton around about 13-8, and Brighton 17-10. A lot was made of Brighton being in Europe last season, Dan, and potentially some of their struggles put down to that. Do you think they're going to bounce back this time around?
Having less fixtures, you know, should probably help. You know, in other ways, it's probably not helped because, you know, people, maybe certain players, like Pascal Gross, who's gone to Borussia Dortmund, maybe would have stayed if they've had some, you know, European football to look forward to. I've got reservations about both teams, and for similar reason there to James, I'm going to go for the draw as well. I think Everton still seem to be struggling financially, you know, without the, you know, until a takeover, you know, goes through properly, then, you know, that's going to be the case. Onana's gone to Aston Villa, you know, a hole in midfield. There's been talk about Jarrod Branthwaite leaving, you know, potentially to Manchester United for a lot of the summer. On the other side of things, when you talk about the move from Goodison, I think Goodison's going to be vital for Everton again to keep them out of the bottom three. They are, it's a tough place to go. That they do really put it on teams there, play quite direct. Calvert, get the ball into Calvert-Lewin, play off of him. Dwight McNeil's, you know, balls into the box. I think they'll give Brighton a tough game. I remember their last game at Goodison, their first game of the season at Goodison last season, they lost 1-0 to Fulham, but were quite unlucky, really dominated the game. Brighton, I think, are just going to take a bit of time to get going. They've got a new manager, 31-year-old Fabian Hertzler. I don't know if I've pronounced that right, but got a few injuries at the moment as well to key players. Evan Ferguson's still injured. Pervis Estupiñan, who I think is a key player for them on the, you know, left side of defence, but gets forward a lot. So I think take both teams a little bit of time to settle into the season. A draw may not be the worst result for either team.
You made me feel so much worse there, Dan. You had to mention his age, didn't you? 31 years of age. As a man, I mean, you know, there are players. James Milner's still playing in the Premier League in his late 30s. Must be looking and thinking, how on earth am I being managed by a 31-year-old? I mean, you know, all joking aside, that is a big ask for somebody of that age to be in arguably Europe's top league and to try and you know, build on what they failed to do last year.
It is, but the decision making at Brighton in terms of recruitment is normally pretty spot on, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, whether it's managers, you know, managerial appointments, you know, Potter went on to better things. De Zerbi, you came in impressed, so wouldn't be surprised if they've got it right again.
Newcastle against Southampton is up next at St James's Park. The Magpies, of course, having missed out on Europe last time out, will be looking to try and get back into the Champions League. They're 4-11 to pick up the 3 points. The draw around about 17-4, and Southampton 15-2. Another of the new teams in action. Milt, how do you think Saints are going to get on?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Ipswich's defence, and I think the same applies to Southampton. You know, they're obviously committed to this open style of football. And I think particularly in this opening fixture, that could work against them. You know, they conceded a lot of goals against the top teams in the Championship last season. You know, looking at Newcastle, again, you know, it's a theme of last season, plenty of injuries. But actually, only the top three scored more goals than Newcastle. They end up with 85. And I think they could win a high-scoring game this Saturday. Kicked off last season with a 5-1 win over Aston Villa. So I like the look of Newcastle to win and over 3.5 goals. I think, Southampton, kind of odds against for relegation, quite, you know, it's a really tricky heat, obviously, with all the potential points deductions and things. But I think Southampton, they were the one relegation price that kind of caught my eye before.
Mm. What about you, Dan? How do you see this one going? And Newcastle, quite rightly, strong favourites?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with James. I think that odds against Southampton for relegation is a good bet. I can sort of imagine another sort of Burnley scenario with them. They're very committed to this heavy possession-based style. Russell Martin's done it with every club he's been at, MK Dons, Swansea. Doesn't like to change. That can kind of help when you're building things long-term. I think when you've got you're going to the Premier League, such a big step up. I know they were there the season before, but there's been a lot of change of personnel since then. I do worry for them. Southampton, I think they're going to get exposed by the better quality of forwards. My tip for this, I'm going to go for Newcastle and over 2.5 goals. I can just see a high scoring Newcastle victory. I think Newcastle, without any European football, they're in the Champions League last season. It's going to benefit their league form this season. They're going to have a right go at getting in the top four. I wouldn't rule them out, you know, maybe nicking that fourth spot, especially if Alexander Isak has the season that I expect he may have if he stays free of injury. Southampton, 63 goals they conceded last season. I think it's going to be a lot more this season. I think they'll score plenty of goals, Southampton, but concede a lot as well. So Newcastle to win a high-scoring game.
The last of the 3 o'clock games sees Nottingham Forest at home to Bournemouth. Forest around about 7-5, the draw 5-2, and Bournemouth around 19-10. Looking particularly at Bournemouth here, James, how are they going to be impacted by Dominic Solanke's exit so close to the start of the new season?
Yeah, I think it's a really tough blow. And again, you know, it's the size of the club they are. They're not in a position to turn that money down. But, you know, it's not just Solanke's goals. His all-round play was terrific, you know, proper centre forward. And you know, he really is kind of finally living up to the potential he showed as an England youth player. So I think that is a big blow. And that's one factor why I'm edging towards a Forest victory in this one. Now, they do score plenty of goals at home. I'm not overly convinced by them in the long term, but I think this is a good fixture for them to kick off the season with.
I saw quite a bit of Forest down towards the end of last season. They've got some really talented players and some really a big attacking threat when you think of Gibbs-White and Hudson-Odoi and Elanga bursting forward at pace. I just wonder whether they've got the manager to get the best out of them.
I think so. I think they've got the potential to be, you know, reasonably big improvers this season. He likes Nuno to sort of, you know, stay compact and then, you know, hit teams on the counter. A lot of them players that you mentioned are, you know, pretty sharp and quick. You know, as you say, Langer, Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs-White, decent couple of front men as well for the Premier League in Awoniyi and Wood. So, and Hwang, who I saw when he was on loan at Norwich last season, a real live wire as well. So, I can see them. I mean, you got to remember, although they were flirting with relegation last season, with the points deduction kind of distorts it a bit. They actually finished 10 points without the deduction. You know, it would have been 10 points clear of the relegation zone. A couple of the additions as well. At centre-back, Nikola Milenkovic for Serbia. He's a monster, certainly in the air. Elliot Anderson, I think, was kind of underused at Newcastle. I think he's a really decent sort of offensive midfield player. So I don't think they're not going to go maybe at the top half, but I think they could be more comfortable. Bournemouth, I would worry until they replace Solanke. Generally, their recruitment's quite good, and by the end of the window, they might be in a better position. But right now, you know, he's going to be missed a hell of a lot. Makes it worse that NSU now, you know, another forward option, is out injured at the moment. So I just think they're in a bit of a dodgy position going into this fixture with Solanke going. And I fancy Forest quite strongly, actually, to get the 3 points.
Let's move on to Saturday's evening game at 5:30. It's an all claret and blue affair as West Ham take on Aston Villa. I suppose this is a clash between two different sort of clubs and where they are at the moment, Mills, where we've got West Ham changing the manager, of course, and David Moyes moving on at the end of last season. Villa seemed pretty settled under Unai Emery and heading in the right direction. In terms of the prices for this one, the Hammers are around about 6-4, the draw 13-5, and Aston Villa 17-10. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, you're quite right. It's an interesting season for both these clubs. Obviously, West Ham under new manager and maybe looking to kind of turn on the style post-David Moyes. They've certainly got the attacking personnel to be a really entertaining side. I think this is going to be fun. I like the look of the two all correct score, actually. Villa, obviously, later in the season will be balancing their return to the Champions League with hoping to maintain their high standards in the Prem. I mean, they kind of limped over the line in the race for the top four last season, helped by Spurs doing the same thing. And that they've kind of been busy in the transfer market, but I'm not entirely sure if their squad's any stronger. Obviously, lost Douglas Luiz and brought in Onana from Everton. So I think they'll be in the mix for kind of top six, maybe not top four. But this first game, yeah, West Ham's last five games all featured over 3.5 goals. And I like the look of that two all draw here.
West Ham, Dan, where do we see them at the moment? It's with perennial question at the start of the season with West Ham generally. Are they bottom half, top half, but with a new manager in charge and a few changes? What do we expect?
I think they're going to have a really good season. I think David Moyes done a really good job with them, you know, in terms of league positions and, you know, and the success they had in Europe. But I think the new manager, there will be a change of style, but they're helping him with the players that they're bringing in as well. I thought Crescencio Somerville was probably the best player in the Championship last season. Outstanding talent. I think he's going to be a real big player for them. Full Krug, you know, the decent, proven centre forward as well. Jean-Claire Todibo's coming on loan from Nice, another, you know, quality player in. Max Kilman, I mentioned earlier on the show, is coming from Wolves, has improved in a lot of positions, and there was a lot of quality already there. Look, Jared Bowen, the Paqueta, now they've got a big...
I was going to say, I think Wan-Bissaka's a brilliant signing for the amount of money he's down as well. You know, when you think £15 million for a player of Premier League quality and experience like that, to slot in defensively, I think that could be a big signing.
Absolutely. It wouldn't shock me if West Ham even pushed for a top six finish, maybe at the expense of a side like Villa, who are going to have Champions League commitments. I know that's not going to affect them right at the start of the season, but going to West Ham, I know the fans really wanted to change the style as well. And London Stadium, when the fans are really on board and getting behind the team, can be a really tough place to go as well. So I just think, with all the dynamics going into this game, Luiz will be missed as well in the Villa midfield. He's a real key player for them. I'm not sure Onana is really a like-for-like replacement, you know, different quality. So, yeah, for me, West Ham to win the game at the odds is a good bet.
We've already talked, of course, about Sunday's big game between Chelsea and Man City. Prior to that, Brentford against Crystal Palace looks an intriguing encounter. The Bees around about 29-20. The draw 12-5. And Palace around 15-8 to collect the points here. Towards the end of last season, Milt, I was talking about Palace being a potential top six side. And then, of course, the inevitable happens during the summer. They lose several key players. You start to wonder, you know, what will happen going forward for them now. I think Palace fans must be, you know, head in their hands at the moment, because they had a really good team looking in that direction. And then losing the likes of Elise and potentially Gueye as well, it's going to be a big setback.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, if you're a fan of a club like Palace, you at least want, you know, a full season with it before the squad starts getting picked off. But, you know, I think the transfer fees that are being offered, they couldn't, and particularly the opportunity for Elise moving to Bayern Munich, you know, they couldn't really stand in his way. So yeah, you know, they finished last season in fantastic form, you know, great results, great performances. You know, you don't want to get too carried away with that, given the summer they've had. I think they were also helped by some of the opposition at the end of the season. You know, Manchester United were absolutely shambolic in that 4-0 defeat at Selhurst. And then they hammered Aston Villa on the final day, when Villa may have had the odd light ale to celebrate their qualification earlier in the week. But having said that, I think at the prices, I'd be siding with Palace to win at Brentford. Not got huge expectations of Brentford this season. I mean, they won one of their 15 home games against teams above them in the league. You know, they're really, really reliant on results against the teams at the very bottom. And obviously the Ivan Toney situation, the striker Igor Thiago, who's bought in as a potential replacement, he's now been pulled out until the new year. So, yeah, I think Brentford are one of those established clubs. So, you know, if the promoted teams do better than expected, Brentford could be one of the ones in trouble.
Brentford, of course, have brought in Carvalho from Liverpool in the last few days, Dan. But as James points to there, you know, there is a few question marks hanging over Brentford in terms of the squad and how they're going to progress this season. Not an easy start either at home to Palace.
Yeah, they would be one of the teams, I would say, a bit like Wolves, that could get sort of sucked in and give hope to those newly promoted teams of, you know, maybe finishing above Brentford. I think there's some issues there. They're clearly planning to sell Ivan Toney. You know, may still do that. I think they're probably going to be looking for maybe a bit more money now that the replacement Thiago's out to the new year. So that's a big issue, because spent big money on Thiago, you know, in an effort to replace Toney. Now it looks like Toney might stay. West Ham and Spurs were linked with him. They've kind of signed their, you know, the Solanke and Fulkrug now. So is the question mark, what happens now with Ivan Toney? Will he be, you know, fully committed and able to, you know, to deliver for them? On the Palace side of things, I'm not as pessimistic, actually. I mean, at the moment, it's only Elise that's gone. They generally recruit quite well. I mean, if Gerhi or Eze goes, I'm sure that, you know, that money will be reinvested. They've not gone at the moment. And they've already brought in Ismail Assar, who I watched a lot. I get down to Watford a lot when he was there. Believe me, he's got a hell of a lot of quality. Yeah. Pretty impressed at the last World Cup as well. More direct sort of player than Elise as well. So we'll give him something different. Some of the players as well, I thought Glasner has done a magnificent job there as well, and he's improved a lot of the players there. Mateta just looks a completely different player under him. He looked a beast of a centre forward, scoring lots of goals. Adam Wharton plays so well that he forced his way into the England squad. So Palace, I can see pushing still, even with Elise going, may even still push to get into that top half. Brentford going to be struggling, I think. So Palace on in this game, Palace draw no bet to me is a good bet.
Yeah, Palace's best bit of business over the summer could be keeping a hold of Glasner when Bayern Munich was sniffing around, of course, earlier in the summer. The final game of the first round of Premier League fixtures takes place on Monday evening. It's Leicester against Tottenham. As an Arsenal fan, Milt, you know, obviously tongue-in-cheek, you might expect Tottenham to be up there challenging for the Gunners this season?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm quite optimistic about their chances. You know, second season under Postecoglou, and it had so many factors that could have undermined them last time. You know, Harry Kane's exit, injuries, international call-ups, a really significant change of style from the Antonio Conte era. And I thought, you know, overall they play pretty well, and yeah, until they ran out of steam on the run in, and were just picked for top four. But I think the future is bright under Postecoglou, and I think this looks like quite a nice opening fixture for them. You know, Leicester, so many doubts over them. It looks like they're going to have the hanging over them for a while before we get a verdict on that, which can't help. Now, they won the championship. It's the sad reality of modern football that, you know, you win the championship, you're looking forward to being back in the top flight. You lose your manager, you lost the player of the season, Kiernan Dewsbury Hall, to Chelsea. And you know, suddenly I'm not sure Foxes fans are feeling quite so bullish about being back in the Premier League. From a betting perspective, I think Dejan Kulusevski to score at any time looks a decent bet here. I just feel like he's got more goals in him. He scored seven, I think, in the league last season. Three of those came in two games against bottom club Sheffield United. Obviously, Leicester are favourites to be relegated this season. He had 12 shots in those two games. And yeah, I think he could trouble another of the recently promoted sides.
Leicester, by the way, 17-4 to collect the victory on Monday. The draw 100-30, and Tottenham odds on at around about 3-5. How upbeat are you feeling, Dan, going into the new season?
I've kind of being a Spurs fan teaches you not to get too high, you know, a lot of the time. But I think they're a contender for the top four. I wouldn't say for certain whether they'll get in there. I think injuries will play a part. Last season there was no European football for Spurs. Now they're in the Europa League, 8 games just in the group stage. So it's a hell of a big increase on the schedule. I do think when there was injuries and suspensions last season, I remember after that 4-1 against Chelsea, that game where Spurs seemed to lose about 4 key players just in a single game, and then the form fell off a cliff, didn't it, for a few weeks after it. So I do think that there's certain areas of the squad, certainly the positions at fullback, you Dodgy and Porro. If either of them get injured, it's a big drop off. Centre back, you've got Romero, is a walking red card. Van de Ven, for a young player, gets injured a lot. Dragusin's a good backup, but there's only really 3 recognised centre backs in a squad, and with this big schedule there, to come. So, I think if they keep players fit, I think right now most of the squad is fit. Most of them got a run out in the 3-2 loss to Bayern Munich, the last pre-season game. James Milton's picked there. Dejan Kulusevski got 2 goals in that game, so he's going to be going into the match confident. But Leicester, as has been mentioned, Maresca leaving, Dewsbury Hall, massive loss as well. Probably, could be a points deduction on the way. That's probably affecting their decision, what they're going to do in the transfer market. They're going to be, wondering, how much do we push the boat out here when we could be, whacked with a points deduction. So I think there's a big chance of them getting relegated. I see Spurs winning this game fairly comfortably. So I'll go with Spurs -1 on the Asian handicap. If they win by a single goal, you get your stakes return. Anything more than that, you've got a full stakes win.
Well, that's the guys' thoughts then on the opening week of the Premier League. Up next, we'll turn our attentions to the EFL. Well, as promised now, we're going to look at the EFL, and we'll start off with our match in focus this week. And it's 2 of the high-profile clubs, shall we say, in League 2 that we're going to look at. It was their meeting at Valley Parade as Bradford City play host to Salford on Sunday. That's a 4:30 kickoff. We'll look at the prices in a moment. Dan, firstly, let's start with you in terms of these two teams. I mean, Bradford in particular have been looking over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, keep thinking this is going to be the year they're going to get themselves back up. I mean, you're looking at gates of 15, 16,000 on a regular occasions at home. It seems ridiculous that they've not even been able to get into the playoffs of late.
Yeah, I think they'll be there or thereabouts this season, Warren. I think Graham Alexander is a decent manager for the level. He came in during the course of last season. Initially, they improved. Then the results dipped a bit, and then they finished quite strong. Just finished short of the playoffs. I think they'll be stronger this year. That started off really well. Got as tough a game as you're going to get. Opening game away to MK Dons. Scored twice in the first 5 minutes. Got a great 2-1 away win. As you mentioned, with that crowd behind them, I think their home form is going to be good. This is the first home league game. I can see them winning it. I think Salford, they've got quite a big budget generally for this level, but there's a little bit of... they're in a bit of transition at the moment. Gary Neville's just bought out the stake of Peter Lim, the businessman who had a large stake in the club. That seems to have affected their recruitment. They've not done a lot of business so far in the summer. I think they're looking to do a lot more business before the window shuts. Right now, they lost 5-2 at Rochdale in pre-season, lost 2-0 at home to Port Vale in the first league game, 2-0 at home to Doncaster in the first round of the EFL Cup. So struggling a bit at the moment, Salford. Tough game to go to here, Bradford. Bradford's win for me.
Yeah, Graham Alexander, of course, a former Salford manager. In terms of the prices, Bradford around about 3-4, the draw 11-4, and Salford 100-30. Are you on the same hymn sheet here, Milts, in terms of Bradford?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think Bradford to win to nil looks a decent bet. Dan's mentioned their win at MK Dons in the opening weekend. Nice result for Graham Alexander, who was sacked by Dons after only 16 games at the start of last season. So, he obviously had a point to prove. And I just think that, they came up just short. It was a bit of a battle royale for the last couple of playoff spots. They didn't do much wrong. Won 6 of their last 7 games, finished a point off 7th. I think, when you look at the top 3 who were promoted from League 2 last season, really, really strong sides, Stockport, Wrexham and Mansfield. So yeah, I think Bradford should certainly be in the playoff mix, if not aiming for automatic this season. And yeah, they've kept clean sheets in 8 of their last 10 league wins. And just looking at that Salford start, I mean, you know, we mentioned they came into the EFL with a bit of a fanfare after Graham Alexander won promotion, and just been kind of treading water, you know, 10th, 8th, 10th, 7th, and then last season slipped to 20th. So, you know, I think Dan's right that, you know, that is going to be a kind of season of consolidation for them. They had 7 shots in that defeat to Port Vale, who are, again, are expected to be one of the top sides. And then in the cup in midweek, they have 1 shot on target against Doncaster. So, you know, may struggle to land a blow on the Bradford defence. So Bradford to win 2-0.
So both James and Dan pretty hot on Bradford for that clash with Salford on Sunday. We're going to turn our attentions now to Dan Charles' EFL selections. You've got the best 3 EFL bets that you've had a look at, Dan, for this weekend. Where are we going first?
Yeah, I'll start off in the Championship with Middlesbrough. A bit of odds against around, I think, to win away to Derby. Middlesbrough finished 8th last season. Had that great run to the EFL Cup semi-finals where they lost to Chelsea 6-2 on aggregate. I just think this season made some good additions. Luke Aylin, Aidan Morris, USA international. Delano Bergzorg, decent striker. I think Latte, the striker who came in last summer, I think he's going to be better for having a season in the league. Started to score a lot of goals towards the end of the season. And Derby, I think, are going to face a bit of a struggle, I think, after coming up. Sort of had to battle hard to get up from League One. Haven't done a great deal of eye-catching strengthening in the window. First game, league game of the season, lost 4-2 away to Blackburn on the Friday. And Blackburn have not really done a great deal in the market this summer. So, I fear for Derby. I think they're going to have a scrap to stay up. Middlesbrough to win this one.
Yeah, and they're around about 11-10 Middlesbrough as well to win that game at Pride Park. Who are the second of the 3 EFL tips then, Dan?
Second, I'll drop into League One. I'm going to go with Stockport to draw no bets away to Blackpool. People might raise their eyebrows initially because they lost 6-1 in the Cup in the week on Tuesday night. Stockport at home to Blackburn. But they made wholesale changes for that game. It was always the plan to keep the key players fresh and fit for the trip to Blackpool. Won League Two last season, have strengthened considerably again. Were very strong in their first league game. Won 2-0 at home to Cambridge. You know, could have won by a couple more goals. Blackpool, I mean, just missed out on the playoffs last season. Will be aiming to get into the top 6 this season. But their first game against relegation favourites Crawley have lost lots and lots of key players. They lost 2-1 Blackpool away to Crawley. I think that's a big, big worry for them to lose that type of fixture in the first weekend of the season. Stockport's going to be harder. Stockport draw no bet, I think, is a good wager.
Okay, Borough and Stockport so far, and who are we concluding the 3 EFL selections with, Dan?
Going to finish off in League Two with a bit of respite for Carlisle, long-suffering Carlisle fans. They're at home to Barrow. I fancy them to win this game at home. Carlisle, bottom of League One last season, started this season with a 4-1 loss away to Gillingham. But Gillingham, I think, are big spenders in League Two, going to be one of the strongest teams. If you drill down into the match report, manager's comments and the stats of that game was actually quite an even game. Carlisle played pretty well in that game without getting much reward. I think at home now in a sort of a Cumbrian derby against Barrow, I think the fans will be behind them. I think Carlisle are going to be up there with the squad that they've assembled. Paul Simpson, they've kept faith with. I think he's a good manager. I think he'll get them going again this season. Barrow started with a 1-0 win at home for Crewe. They're generally very strong at home, but Stephen Clements in as a manager this season, they're less convincing usually away from home. And I think at Carlisle, they're going to struggle to get any points.
Funny, just to back up what Dan says there about Carlisle, looks at the stats and across the whole of the EFL last weekend, Carlisle were in the top 10 for XG, which amazed me, bearing in mind they lost 4-1. So Carlisle at home to...
Lost results sometimes, absolutely, yeah.
Definitely. So Middlesbrough to beat Derby, Carlisle to beat Barrow and Stockport draw no bet. The 3 EFL selections from Dan Charles. James Milton's going to run us through his latest betting suggestions now, starting with a bet builder. 3 legs of a bet builder. Milton, what are we looking at?
Yeah, we're heading to the London Stadium. I've tipped the 2-2 correct score in West Ham Aston Villa earlier in the show. I'm expecting an entertaining game. I think the scoring could start early on. 5 of West Ham's last 6 league games last season had a goal in the 15th minute or earlier. So I think over 0.5 first half goals is a solid first selection. And next up, Ollie Watkins to score at any time. You know, he's obviously not had much of a pre-season with Villa. Only seems 5 minutes ago that he was on the verge of a knighthood after his semi-final strike for England at the Euros. I'm not too concerned about his lack of club pre-season. You know, he only played less than an hour at the Euros, so should be fresher than a lot of the England squad. Scored in two of his last three games against West Ham. And I think also, I'm sure fantasy football managers will be all over this, but it'll be interesting to see if he starts taking penalties again for Villa. I think he did early in his career there. Then Douglas Luiz took over. Obviously, Luiz has left, so interesting to see who gets the nod there. And then finally, I mentioned I'm struggling to split these teams. So the draw, which boosts the Bet Builder odds to around 10-1, three of the last five meetings at West Ham have ended all square. And I think this could be an entertaining and well-matched contest.
OK, that's James's thoughts in terms of the clash between West Ham and Aston Villa. Sir Ollie Watkins has got quite a nice ring to it, I think, to be honest. We might well see that further down the line. Milt has also been looking at props for the weekend's action as well. What have we come up with here, Milt?
Yeah, the first one's in the opening game of the season. Fulham's Rodrigo Muniz to have over 3.5 shots against Manchester United. They had five attempts when Fulham visited Old Trafford in February. They won 2-1. He hit the woodwork in that game as well. They had a real breakthrough season for the Cottagers. Scored nine times in 18 Premier League starts. You know, came off the bench a few times as well. And he averaged almost three shots per game. And you know, looking at United's stats last season, I think quite late in the season, they were sort of the leading team when it came to conceding most shots per game in all of Europe's top five divisions. Not sure whether that was all part of Erik ten Hag's master plan. He's obviously still in the job, so it's working so far. But yeah, I expect Fulham to be able to carve out some chances and yeah, Muniz can build on a really promising campaign last season.
And what's the other leg of the prop shot?
Yeah, the second one. So I've gone for a creative player in the first game. Going for a more destructive character in the second game. Ipswich captain Sam Morsy. You know, he's a senior player for the Tractor Boys. He'll be absolutely buzzing to lead his side out against Liverpool. I suspect it may take him time to adjust to the pace of the Premier League. You know, he's up against a really technically proficient Liverpool midfield. So he looks at a cracking bet at around 7-4 to pick up a caution. He was booked 12 times in League One two seasons ago when Ipswich got promoted. 14 yellow cards in the Championship last season. So I think he could be quite a regular in the referee's notebooks back in the Premier League.
OK, well, one other new section of this new assist programme is the assist treble, where each of us will pick one selection each week. And for those watching on YouTube, you can view the naps now on the screen. Dan, we'll start with your selection first. Where are you looking?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my Nottingham Forest pick at home to Bournemouth. I think Forest will improve with the business that they've done. I think Bournemouth, certainly while they're working out how to replace Dominic Solanke, you know, may have a bit of a struggle. So, yeah, Forest to win that game for me.
Milt, what's your selection?
Yeah, I'm going for Sheffield United to beat QPR at Bramall Lane. It was absolutely imperative for them to make a strong start after that harrowing Premier League season, and they've done that. Had a solid 2-0 win at Preston on the opening night of the Championship. Came from behind to beat Wrexham 4-2 in the EFL Cup. That was with a much changed side, and yeah, QPR were beaten 3-1 at home by West Brom last weekend, and I think they may well be outplayed.
Okay, so Milt is going with Sheffield United, Dan with Nottingham Forest. I'm going to go with Huddersfield in League One to beat Stevenage. It's around about 4-6. I think Huddersfield were a little bit lucky to be relegated from the Championship last season, and I expect them to be challenging at the top end of League One this season. I think Michael Duff's a great appointment at that level as a manager. So far, two games and two wins. 2-0 win at Peterborough really would have raised a few eyebrows, I'm sure, for the onlookers at the weekend. And they had a comfortable 3-0 win over Morecambe in the EFL Cup in midweek, where they were 3-0 up before half-time. So they were able to take the foot off the gas a little bit, and I think they'll have too much for Stevenage at the John Smith Stadium. So that is the assist treble then for this weekend. Huddersfield, Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest. Finally, guys, if you had one bet this weekend, where would you be looking? Let's start with you, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Nottingham Forest again. I just think that, yeah, they are going to have a better season this year. I think Bournemouth are going to struggle in the early weeks of the season. So Nottingham Forest for me.
And James, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think my most confident Premier League selection is Newcastle to win an over 3.5 goals against Southampton. One last stat before we bid you farewell. Newcastle last season, 6 matches against the promoted clubs, who of course were also the 3 relegated clubs. They scored 23 goals, had an 8-0 win over Sheffield United. And I think the way Southampton play, they're going to concede a lot of goals back in the top flight, and Newcastle should cruise to an opening weekend victory.
Thanks, guys. A big thanks to Dan and James for their efforts and their key research and stats this week. We'll, of course, be back again next week. We'll love to hear your comments on the show. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment. And if you're into your golf as well, make sure that you watch The Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. This week's version is available now, and it'll be back again next Tuesday as well with his golfing selections. As I say, we'll be back next week. For the time being, enjoy your football and please gamble responsibly.